Turn your Bibles this morning to Psalm chapter 116. Psalm 116. And knowing that it is Canadian Thanksgiving, Pastor Mackay asked if I would challenge you concerning Thanksgiving. And the thought today, of course, is to whom do we give thanks? To whom do we give thanks? I know a lot about American Thanksgiving from a child being raised up. We're told all about that. But I didn't know anything about Canadian Thanksgiving. So I thought that I would look a little bit up and share that with you. And you'll probably know these things. But really, your celebration is not too unlike our celebration in the sense that it is a day of giving thanks to God for bountiful harvest and for rich blessings. The Lord certainly has been good to us. And Thanksgiving, I found as I researched Canadian Thanksgiving, that it is a time of reflection upon the goodness of God and also a time of recreation with friends and family. I'm looking forward to the meal and the afternoon activities. And each Thanksgiving in our home, Thanksgiving is a big thing in our area. Christmas, of course, is a celebration, but Thanksgiving is very big. There's three things we do around the Brown House at Thanksgiving. Of course, we're thankful for our family. We enjoy our family. We have five children, and they're all married except for one son, and he's about to get married pretty soon. So they're all doing well, serving the Lord. And we have five grandchildren. We're praying for at least 15. That's what we want. We want lots of grandchildren. So we're well on our way. My wife and I have been married for 33 years. The Lord has blessed us greatly. And so we're all about family. Second of all, you can tell with me, all about food. And so family and food. I love food, all kinds of food. I was walking through the hallway and one gentleman was bringing a tray of something and it smelled awful good. And I'm looking forward to that. And then Thanksgiving in America is all about football. And so we enjoy those three things. Family, food, and football. Probably in that order, okay? So, but the first Canadian Thanksgiving goes back to an explorer, Martin Frobisher, I think that's the way you pronounce. Anybody help me? Okay. And he had gone for a long time from his home and from his family in search of the Northern Passage in 1578. And when he returned from that grueling exploit, that experience, he decided to celebrate, not necessarily for the harvest season, but more so for the homecoming and a safe journey. So as we celebrate Thanksgiving, it has a present tense meaning of worshiping and thanking the Creator for His gracious blessings and for His bounty. Matter of fact, in January the 31st in 1957, I was just a little baby, the Canadian Parliament proclaimed the following: a day of general thanksgiving to Almighty God for the bountiful harvest with which Canada has been blessed, to be observed on the second weekend in October. And so with that in mind, I think it would be good for all of us to take a look in God's holy word and explore the thought, thanksgiving, to whom do we give thanks? Let's take a look at God's word. Psalm chapter 116, verse 1. The psalmist says this: I love the Lord, because He hath heard my voice and my supplication, because He inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaiden. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. Oh, what a great verse that was to finish with. I will offer unto thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. Thanksgiving, to whom do we thank? Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for this assembly of people today, many of them regular attenders here at Metro Baptist. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you may encourage them in their faithfulness. But Lord, there are some visitors with us today, and we're truly grateful for that. And we pray that you would help all visitors and all regular attenders to hear from you, Lord, in their heart today. Help me as I preach, and I pray, Lord, that what I say will be clear and will be helpful to everyone present. Be with the children as their minister today, and we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 8, "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people." In 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 34, the Bible says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." In 1 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 41, it continues and says, "To give thanks to the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever." Throughout the Bible, throughout the Word of God, we're told to give thanks unto the Lord our God. But someone may ask, why? Why should we give thanks to God? In our world today, many people do not believe in God. I'll say a little bit about that. But many people think, why should I give thanks to God? I go to work and I raise money and I pay my bills and I do this. But if it wasn't for God, we would not even exist. If it wasn't for God, we would not even take breath. If it wasn't for God, we would not have strength. Not many years ago, I never paid much attention. I saw a few stroke victims. But my father had a stroke, very strong man. And I saw him lose the whole left side of his body. He was blind in his left eye. He could not do anything for himself. He wanted to. He tried to. But I saw a man who was very strong and independent go down to where he could do nothing for himself. And it hadn't been for the mercy of the Lord, he would have died and spent eternity without Christ. But God was merciful. And for 4 years, he was a stroke victim. My mother would take care of him at home. And she loved him. They were married for 54 years. And I would go over and attend him. And he got to the place where he could not really do much for himself. But I'll tell you, I was so thankful for the Lord sparing my dad's life. For in those 4 years, he come to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And when he passed away, he went to be with the Lord. Absent from the body is present with the Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. But I'll tell you, I really realized that one moment how somebody could be stricken down. They could be so strong and they could be so independent, and the next moment they could be so helpful and dependent. And so if you're here today, we ought to be thankful we're taking breath, that we have strength to walk in here, to understand the message, and a number of things that could go wrong with us, and God's been good. Amen? And we should be thankful. I'm glad in my heart that some people ask the question, why should we give thankfulness to God? So I want to deal with 3 points this morning. Number one, to whom do we give thanks? The why of thanks, and the what that we should be thankful for. The whom, the why, and the what. In Psalm 116, in verse 1, we find out, to whom do we give thanks? In 116, verse 1, Psalm, "I love the Lord." Notice, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. "I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication." The word for Lord is capitalized. It has a different meaning. Capital L, small O, small R, small D means a Lord, a master. But this is primarily the word for Lord, meaning God Almighty. It is the word for Jehovah God. It's mentioned in verse 4. He says, "Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, beseech thee, deliver my soul." We find it in verse 12. "What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me?" Verse 17, "I will offer unto thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord God, the Lord Jehovah." The word Jehovah means Yah or Lord, most vehement. The Lord God is the eternal and self-existing Lord. He has always been. He is the Lord God that always has been and always will be. He is called the Alpha and Omega in the Bible, the beginning and the end. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18, chapter 21, chapter 22. So many times that reference. But in the world today, many people do not believe in a personal, all-powerful God. But we as God's people, we need to stand up and say, yes, there is an Almighty God, and I know Him. I've come to meet Him and know Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. I've come to know Him through this book. Lo, God says, I come in the volume of a book. And we ought to be able to share our faith with other people and give evidence of the existence of an Almighty God. Yes, the atheist asserts there is no God. The agnostic says he cannot tell if there be a God or no. The materialist boasts of that he does not require or need a God. And the worldly fool wishes there was no God. But yet, the Christian answers with this. The Bible says in Acts 17 and verse 28, "For in Him, listen now, we live and move and have our being." Again, if it was not for God, you and I would not exist. If it was not for God, you and I would not be able to function. If it was for you and I, we would not be able to take breath. We would not be able to exist. And so I want to take a look at God's Word and see some proofs about God in the world. To whom do we thank? We thank the Lord God. But many people do not believe in Him. And so first of all, there are proofs about God in our world. First of all, there's a physical universe that says there is a God. Only a God could have set all the stars and planets in their place and their orbits. The astrologist today is finding every year, every day, untold numbers of stars and planets. But not just that, complete galaxies that were not realized before. It is amazing. And so they stand back and they have to say, there must be a God. And it was God who created the heavens and the earth. And so there's proofs in the physical universe. There are proofs in the complex creation of man. The creation of man says there is a God. Only a God could have woven together and the many marvelous idiosyncrasies of the human body. Billions of cells and microatoms in the complexity of the body. We only know about 10% of the human mind's capacity and complexity. Oh, what a marvelous God. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. I often, as a pastor, go to the hospital after little babies are born. Sometimes the families call and they want the preacher to be there. I have been there when there have been problems with births. There have been deaths and there have been deformation. There have been all these different things that people do not know how to handle. And I've been there at times of crisis. And I've been there at times of happiness. And I'll tell you, every baby that's born is a miracle. It's miraculous that there are not more problems than what they are. But most births are normal. Most births come out fine. And that is amazing. And you may not like yourself. Sometimes we don't like ourselves. We look and we say, I wish I had a different nose. I wish I had a different face. I've always wanted to be skinny, and I've never been skinny. But you know, God made you like you are. You, my friend, are fearfully and wonderfully made. And next time you look in the mirror, realize that you are a creation from Almighty God, the God that loves you. The physical universe says there's a God. The complexity of creation of man says there's a God. In Psalm 139, verse 14, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works." And then the human soul says that there's a God. Deep within every man is the knowledge of God in the innermost self. In Psalm 139, verse 14, again, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. And it goes on and says this, and that my soul knoweth right well. Everyone on the face of the earth has a soul. A soul that will return to God. God says, all souls are mine. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns the gold. He owns the silver. The Bible says He owns it all. But He says this, all souls are mine. And when we die, when we leave this life, our soul goes back to its Creator. And we give an account of our life to Him. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Your soul deep down inside knows that there is a Creator. Friend, if we'd be honest, no one is to tell us we have or convince us we have a God consciousness. Instinctively, we know deep within us that there is a God. But alas, God loves us much more than we care to fathom. Matter of fact, our minds cannot comprehend the love of God. The physical universe says there's a God. The complexity of creation says that there's a God. The heavens, the human soul says that there's a God. And then in Psalm 19, turn back there for with me if you will, Psalm 19, the written word of God, the Bible, says there is a God. Psalm 19 and verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. There's the soul again. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Moreover, to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than all, also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, what's the them? The law, the statutes, the judgments, the word of God. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, keeping of the word, there is great reward. Thank God for the Bible. I'll tell you what, I was raised religious, but I did not know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior until I was witnessed to at the age of around 16. I went to church with my girlfriend, who happens to be my wife now of 33 years, and went to a Baptist church and heard the gospel, got under conviction. A few years before that, maybe around 12 or 13, my oldest brother was dating a young lady, and her mother had rules about dating and courtship, and he could not date her unless he took her to church, and they had to go to their church. And when they went to their church, my brother heard the gospel. And he took me, I was 12 or 13, and I heard the gospel for the first time. And I didn't know what to call it, but it was under Holy Ghost conviction. God was working in my heart. I knew a lot about God. I knew a lot about religion, but I didn't know Him on the inside. You know, someone has said there's about 18 inches from a person going to heaven and a person missing heaven and going to hell. 18 inches. What is that? From the head to the heart. You can have a head knowledge and miss God's heaven, and you can have a heart knowledge and understand the gospel, be saved, and go to God's heaven. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Amen. And so, as a young lad, I heard the gospel, met my wife, and went to hear the preaching, and I was under conviction. I didn't know what it was, but I felt a strange tugging on my heart, and I knew that there was something missing in my life. There was a void in my life. Everybody in this world has a God-shaped void that must be filled. We must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, and be saved. God is to be thanked. I was 17 years old. I came home from hearing some preaching. I went upstairs in my mother and father's home, and I got on my knees and I said, Jesus, will you forgive me of my sins? Will you come into my heart and be my Savior? And you know what? He did that. I was born again of the Spirit of God, and my life changed. any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And I began to want the Word of God and the things of God. And I thank God that in the Word of God we're told that there is a God Almighty, a great Creator, Jehovah God Himself, and He ought to be worshipped and praised and certainly thanked. So, number one, the whom of thanksgiving is the Lord God Almighty. And I want to say something to you today. Many of you might know this. I'm not sure. Do you know this? You need to know this. The God of all creation desperately loves you. The God of all creation has made a way for you to know Him in a personal and intimate way. And that way is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Second of all, I want you to see not only the whom of thanksgiving, but the why should we give thanks. The psalmist says in 116, again, in verse 1, I love the Lord. How many love the Lord this morning? Okay, wonderful. Okay, the psalmist says, here's why we ought to love the Lord. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The why of giving thanks. There are several good reasons within the text that we should give God thanks. First of all, because He hath heard my voice and my supplication. The word supplication means prayers. Specifically, prayers for others. How many here are concerned at one time or another with someone else? You're concerned about the health of a loved one. You're concerned about the life of somebody you care about. And you know, as Christians, we're supposed to offer prayers up to God for them, on their behalf. That is supplication. And the psalmist says, because He has heard my voice, the God of all creation, the God of the universe, hears me. I'm so insignificant. I am nothing, but I am everything to Him. I love the Lord because He's heard my voice and my supplications. The prayers I make for those I care about, my God hears. Amen. When I speak a word of prayer, He hears me. Psalm 3, verse 4, I cried unto the Lord with my voice and He heard me. In 6 and verse 9, the psalmist says, the Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Psalm 18, verse 6, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice. My cry came before Him, even unto His ears. Psalm 28, verse 6, blessed be the Lord, because He heard the voice of my supplication. Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined His ear, and He heard my cry. You know what the word incline there means? It means the hearing of a mother. And the idea of a mother that a little infant at night has that cry in the middle of the night. And that word incline means to bend the ear. It means to cup the ear. It means that God hears every little prayer said and felt. Our God is so great we don't even have to speak it. He hears our heart. Amen? I will praise Thee, for Thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. Psalm 118, 21. So we ought to give praise. Why? Because He's heard my prayer. Amen. Second, in verse 2, He says, because He heard my cry. Cry has to do with emotion. You ever been so full of emotion, so discouraged, so despondent? Perhaps the loss of a loved one, a sorrow, perhaps a pain, perhaps a health crisis, where no one seems to understand. I want you to know, beloved, God hears that cry. Not only the cry of our prayer and our supplication, but He knows our heart and the hurt that we feel. Oh, is He worthy of our thanks? There have been times in my life where I was just broken. And no one seemed to know, understand. But I could call unto God and share my burden. And I knew He cared. Thirdly, why should we give praise? Because He delivered my soul. Verse 4, then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, I beg Thee, deliver my soul. Set me free. The word deliver here means to emancipate. And then he says in verse 5, because he hath been gracious and merciful to me. Those are two interesting words, gracious and merciful. Grace means giver of unmerited or unearned favor. The giver, God is the giver of undeserved blessing and favor. What is Thanksgiving about? We're thanking God for His bounty, for His blessings. Undeserved. We're so unworthy, and He is so worthy. But God freely bestows His bounty and blessing upon us. This dear woman sitting here is one of the highlights of my life. She's a gift from God. I thank God for her. I have 5 beautiful children. How precious they are to me and to us. And you know, in this world today, it seems like many people think children are a bother. I had one of the great things of my life is raising children. Those years went by so fast, and now we're enjoying our grandchildren. What a delight to be a parent. And listen, if you're a parent that maybe perhaps in anger or in frustration that, well, I don't even know if I want all these children. We have those thoughts. Oh, never think that. Children are a blessing of the Lord. They are a heritage of the Lord. Amen. And I thank God for His bounty to me. He's been gracious to me. Undeserving I am, but God has been good to me. And then He says not only gracious and merciful in verse 5, gracious, he says, merciful. Mercy, grace is that getting what we don't deserve. But mercy is not getting what we do deserve. Anybody else been guilty before? Amen? Anybody else done wrong before? Anybody else sinned in this room? Of course we all have. The Bible says we're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so listen, God is gracious to us and God is merciful to us. Mercy is bestowing what we do, is not bestowing what we do deserve, not having judgment. And God is a merciful God. All through the Bible, it says in Ephesians 1 and verse 7, the riches of His grace. It says in verse 4 that He has abundant grace, but it says that God is a merciful God. He is ever merciful in Psalm 37 and verse 26. He crowneth thee with tender mercies, Psalm 103, verse 4. Great are thy mercies, God says in Psalm 119, in verse 56. And in Lamentations 3, in verse 23, the Lord merciful and the Lord's mercies are new every morning, we're told. And then, I love the Lord, and I'm thankful for the Lord, and ought to give thanks. Because He says in verse 7, listen, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. The Lord's been bountiful to us. That's what Thanksgiving is about. Thankful for the Lord's bounty. The word bountiful means treated well, bring to fruitfulness, to benefit, to bestow a great bounty upon us, a great reward upon us. And I remind you, that a Canadian citizen, that the resolution of the Canadian holiday some 53 years ago still declares and celebrates Holy God. And it says, a day of general thanksgiving to Almighty God. I'm glad it still says that. To Almighty God for what? The bountiful harvest with which Canada has been blessed. This land is a truly blessed land.
Amen.
This land is a beautiful land. And these are gifts from Almighty God. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
You know what amen means? Amen means I agree. Amen means so be it. I concur. And so it's good to say amen in church, especially when we're talking about God's goodness. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. These are wonderful reasons why we should be thankful. So the whom of thanksgiving is the Lord God Almighty. The why of thanksgiving, because God has been so good to us. And thirdly, the what of thanksgiving. Psalm 116, look at verse 12. Pay attention, we're almost done. Verse 12, what shall I render? In other words, God has been so good to me, what can I render? unto God. He says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? What can I give to God? He's been so good to me. He has loaded me daily with benefits. God has given great bounty in my life, my wife, my family, my salvation, my calling of God, my church, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm telling you, you're looking at a blessed man. You're looking at a man that's loaded down with the blessings of God. The what of thanksgiving. What shall I render? The word render means to extend. If I was going to take... Young man, what's your name?
Joshua.
If I had a gift for you, and I don't, so don't get too excited. But if I had a gift and I reached out my hands, it would not be a gift until you receive the gift. But a gift is God rendering. Listen, He's extending His arms. He's opening His hands to us. But it's up to us to reach out and receive the gift. But He says, what shall I render? What shall I, here it is, to extend the hand. What shall I give to God? To give, to perform, to pay, to prosper. The word render means to recompense. It means to restore. It means to reward. It means to offer. Now, the reason I should render or give to the Lord something is what the psalmist says. What shall I render to the Lord? Why? For all His benefits toward me. Me. Little. Now, this is the only time I'm little. Little insignificant me. If you get up high enough, I look small. When you get up high and you look down at this whole world, everything's very small. We're so insignificant. But not to God. We're so important. We are His creation. He gave us a soul. He gave us His Son to die on the cross of Calvary, to take our sin debt, to cleanse us from our sin, to stand in our place and be our Savior. You see, we're sinners. And God gave us a Savior. We needed a Savior. If Jesus is not the way, if He's not the way, then why did He die on the cross? Why did He suffer so? If you and I could get to God's heaven by our own merit, by our own work, by our own effort, then why did Jesus Christ die on the cross, be brutally butchered on the cross of Calvary? Shed His blood. Why did He die? Why did He rise again the third day? I'll tell you why. You and I need a Savior. And that Savior is Christ the Lord. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Why should I be thankful? To whom do I thank? The what of thanksgiving. Notice what He says. He says, verse 12, what shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits toward me? And here's what He says. Here's what I'll give God. Here's what I'll render God. Here's what I'll extend the hand to God. Listen, verse 13. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Listen, if you really want to thank God on thanksgiving, here's what you do. You take the cup of thanksgiving. God has offered the cup of salvation to you. He has offered His Son to you. But it is not a gift until you receive it yourself. Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as Savior? Have you ever received God's salvation by faith in His Son? The Bible says in Psalm 86, verse 5, For Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy all them that call upon Thee. Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them, all them that call upon Thee. For all that call upon Him in truth. There was a day that I called upon the Lord, and He heard my prayer and my supplication. I'm almost done. Jesus Christ is our substitute for sin. Jesus Christ, God's Son, took my place. The Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Acts 16:31, the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anybody. You put your name in there. For whosoever. So I will take the cup of salvation. Number two, I will pay my vows. Verse 14, he says, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. And then he says in verse 3, I will offer praise and thanksgiving. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. He says, I will pay my vow unto the Lord in the presence of all his people. Verse 18, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. And verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Why should we do these things? Well, because God has been so good to us. God is a great God. And so because of this, I promise to love Him. I promise to serve Him. I promise to tell others about Him. Now, in conclusion, let me say this. Again, people in this room, we're abundantly blessed. Now, sometimes we may not feel like it. Sometimes we may feel like we need this and we need that. And I wish I had this and I would. But really, we are abundantly blessed. I have been to third world countries and I have seen great, great poverty. And I'll tell you what, we here today are greatly blessed. Blessed in physical things. Blessed in family. Blessed in life experiences. And I know, no doubt, there are probably a lot of pain and suffering within each story that's represented here. But as my wife sang, through it all, God has been good. And so, why not come this morning and give God thanks? Why not come this morning and worship the Lord, for He is worthy? Why not come this morning if you are not yet born again, if you are not yet saved, if you've not yet asked the Lord to forgive you and to come into your heart and life to be your Savior? Why not this morning, on Thanksgiving morning, why not truly thank God by giving Him your heart and your soul? And listen, as a Christian, if you're already saved, you already trusted Christ, why not rededicate ourselves afresh and anew to love the Lord our God with all our heart? To serve Him with all we got. Amen? Why not truly honor Him this morning? Why don't you say in your heart, perhaps there's someone here today, and say, Preacher Brown, I will take the cup of salvation. I will receive God's forgiveness of sins through the Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice on Calvary. I will do that. Let's bow our heads if we would, please. We're going to pray. Those that play instruments, if they would come at this time. We're going to pray and then we're going to have a short invitation. But let's pray. Father, we thank You for this opportunity today to preach Thy Word. And we thank You for visitors that came today to this good local church. And we thank You for them giving time to be present. And Lord, I know everyone's on a busy schedule. And so we pray, dear Lord, the time that we take now, that we will search our hearts and see, Lord, what is inside. If there's someone here today, Lord, that has never in many years ever asked Jesus Christ into their heart and life, I pray they would today. If there are Christians here that have kind of forgotten how bountiful You have been to them, how blessed they are from You, that they would truly bend the knee in worship and thank You. And Lord, help us to render, to offer, to pay homage to You in a proper way. Accept our love, accept our praise, accept our worship. Lord, accept our service, for You are truly worthy. Speak now in the invitation, Lord. Do a work that we cannot do. And we ask You all these favors in Jesus' name. Amen.